Well, picky eaters are pretty common. I'm sure you know one, or maybe you were one yourself. I'm Jill Najoe. I'm in for Larry Mueller today on the Ideas Network. Our next guest is the author of a new book that offers some pretty simple solutions for dealing with those picky eaters. Her name is Chef Gigi Giraro, and Chef Gigi is a culinary education expert. She specializes in children and families to help them increase their nutrition awareness. She is a former academic director who authored and implemented the French Culinary School Le Cordon Bleu's Hospitality and Restaurant Management course at the California Culinary Academy. She also founded Kids Culinary Adventures, and her new book is called Food Fight, a practical hands-on guide filled with simple solutions for parents of picky eaters. We'll talk about how she developed her book, why some kids are picky, and what to do about it. How do you manage a picky eater? Do you need help with one? Join the conversation. Give us a call. Our number, 1-800-642-1234. That's 642-1234. Or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Chef Gigi, thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Jill. Thank you so much for having me. I'm a big fan.
Well, thank you very much. Well, I'm a big fan of your book. It's great. I think anybody who has kids in their life that don't eat will definitely benefit from it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, you've been in the food business for a pretty long time. What do you love about it?
Well, I think, you know, I'm clocking about 40 years right now.
I wasn't going to say.
You know, I have such a passion for the food industry in all aspects. And what I love about it is, you know, I have to really, it comes down to nurturing and loving and giving. And, you know, food sustains life, and that's one thing that sometimes we all forget.
Yes.
But I think that runs the gamut with most culinary professionals. I think we're givers. We want people to be healthy and happy. And that's one of the reasons why I started. It's a passion, you know. It's mm-hmm. It's almost like not a job. It's a career. It's a love.
Yes, it's nice when you can do what you love and call it work. Now, but you specialize in children and families. How did that resolve?
Well, Jill, that's an interesting question because that's something that just kind of rolled up on me. When I became a parent myself. I started out in the culinary industry very young, about 15 years old, 16 years old, washing dishes, and went through, you know, to, you know, being the waitress and then the chef, and then I went to culinary school and, you know, became a caterer, worked for hotels, large industries, went on, circled the world with more education, as most chefs do. And what I really found out is when I became a mom, I was dealing with, you know, parental issues that all parents face, and a
yes.
lot of them are how to get your children to eat, right?
Yes, they are.
Well, this is a funny story, Jill, because this is how it actually really happened. This is how my book formed, and this is how my business formed. It just was a natural occurrence. And it happened early in the 2000s when I was actually at Le Cordon Bleu, and I wrote the hospitality management program, as you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
One of my teachers was absent, and I was subbing a small business management class because we also teach chefs how to build their own facility. And during that time, I'd come home from work, and, you know, as all parents do, we try to alleviate the crazy hours between 5 and 7 or 5 and 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those crazy, crazy hours
yes.
in your home, and try to alleviate a lot of work, like less work for myself. So, you know, with technology during that time, I was able to go through the drive-through ATM, which I thought was fabulous, right? I don't have
right.
to,
don't have to go to the bank, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? And then, you know, there's grocery shopping, pick up the dry cleaning, homework, get ready for the next day. So I was going through the drive-through ATM after work one day. The kids were in the back seat of the car, buckled up. And I remember pulling out, and my youngest daughter, Dakota, made eye contact with me in the rearview mirror, and she said, "Mom, is that where money comes from, out of the wall?" Jill, right? If
yeah.
you could just imagine how
sure.
mortified I was at that very moment. Talk about putting the brakes on in all sense of the word.
Mm-hmm.
But at that moment, it occurred to me, what am I not teaching the two most important people in my life about economics, how the world works, business, and I'm raising women. So I was like, wow, I really need to jump on this. So the next morning, I was in class teaching this small business management. I had 60 eyes staring at me, and I thought, wow, why don't I take home this module emotionally, you know, and kind of share it with my children. You know, I mean, they're very young, but, you know, I said, let's go ahead and develop a business plan. You know, pick a business that you and your sister would like to build. And let's kind of use the same kind of content that I wrote for the business management course, but use it in words that children could understand. So, of course, naturally, we went to a business meeting, which was, you know, dinner. Because then I didn't have to cook that night, right?
Oh, nice.
So we had a brainstorming meeting. So I would bring, you know, paper and a basket of crayons. And, you know, I thought, oh, I'm going to kill two birds with one stone. We're going to eat dinner. We're going to have a nice meal together. We're going to be able to discuss. And then I'm going to teach my children a little bit about business. So I said, just like the kids in school, I said, okay, let's brainstorm. So they came up with a lemonade stand. Typical, right? Then the next one was an ice cream truck, of course. But, you know, so we talked. I said, okay, that's great. Let's talk about the lemonade stand. Let's discuss how much the lemons cost, how many lemons you're going to need to make a glass of lemonade, what's your labor cost, how long it's going to take you to set up and break down, how much are the cups, et cetera, right?
Yep.
So after we did the math, they said, wow, Mom, there's no way anybody is going to buy a glass of lemonade for X amount of dollars and what we would need to break even, right, and then make a profit. So I said, exactly. Now, this is how business works. What are we going to do about it? So we continued the process, and then as time went on, and we did this for a period of months, one day we were out for Chinese food, and the paper placemats were there, and, you know, we were on the Build Your Brand module.
Yes, yes.
So I said, okay, well, let's do this now. Say you have a business, and we still didn't know what the business was. And I said, draw something, you know, with your crayons on this paper placemat, and let's do a visual of what your branding would look like. Well, guess what? They came up with a culinary school for children, of course, and they said, Mom, you know how you anchor, they didn't say these exact words, they anchor academics, but I do everything that, because I'm a professional chef, everything that I do with my children in the kitchen or, you know, anywhere, I talk about, you know, maybe, you know, we're building cookies or something, or, you know, rock candy, for instance, around the holidays. That is actually a sucrose molecule that has gone wrong and is cracked on a polyester chain. So there's a little bit of science there, right? You know,
okay.
We talk about pasta, right?
Yeah,
So we're making pasta at home. And I said, hey, guess what? Let's talk about food anthropology.
Noodle
has, been, everybody claims a noodle, right? Italy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Chinese.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
So they said, hey, Mom, why don't we open a business that teaches kids, like you do at home, about academics through the medium of cooking? And sure enough, they were drawing on this paper a bowl, and inside the bowl came out E equals MC squared. Then there was, like, you know, 2 + 3 = 5. Then there was a little rolling pin and a whisk coming out. I'm like, out of the mouth of babes, Jill, right?
How old were your children at this point?
They were about 6, 7, 8.
Oh, my goodness.
Older than 8 years old.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
This is why we need to listen to our children.
Yes,
more often.
We should. Most of the time, not always. But.
So that's how my business formed. And then during that, the book formed.
Mm-hmm. So what did you, at the Kids Culinary Adventures, then how did that then go to Picky Eaters? Did you happen to see a lot of kids that just wouldn't eat things?
Well, you know, really, Jill, this is what happened is during my time, you know, just like any business, you have to give the market what the market wants, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
A lot of times as young business owners, we're like, oh, I have this great idea. This is going to do. And that's exactly what we did. So we opened this school for children, and my children taught their preschool. And as they got older, you know, elementary, they taught their, younger children. And so then we finally opened up this brick and mortar. Well, during that time, I became teaching. I left my job at Le Cordon Bleu because the demand got so large at Kids Culinary Adventures. Mm-hmm. So I started teaching and writing curriculum there. And as I started to notice, the market was really the parents, you know. So a lot of times parents would ask me, you know, Chef Gigi, what do? I have this, you know, picky eater, or, you know, my goal was really to make parents' life easier by teaching their children how to cook, how to eat better, understand nutrition, anchor academics so they have added value. So, you know, you're just not sending your kid to cooking school. You're, as a parent, I'm so empathetic, right?
Yes, totally.
So they're getting something out of it. And mm-hmm. and not only that, I even taught the children how to clean up, because a good chef is a clean chef, you know?
Oh, yes.
How we operate. So, yes. You know, kids would learn how to do the whole process, you know, work clean and organized and then clean up. And children are more apt to taste different foods, too, when they actually get involved in the cooking process. So on Sundays, I would have a free class for parents, because I really wanted to ease parenting life, because I knew what it was like. And the market started to change, and it was parents were coming to me more than the children. And so I started to gather all this data, and over the years, I just stored things away. And then about 8 years later, I was like, you know, I think I have a book on my hands.
Yes, you certainly do.
And Food Fight for Parents of Picky Eaters formed.
Now, what is actually your definition of a picky eater?
Okay, well, let me tell you, Del, there's a couple different things. And that's sometimes hard to put your finger on, because mm-hmm. all children are different.
Yes.
And we want everybody to be different, right? That's what, you know, makes us individuals. And but in my personal definition, and I'm not a food sensory professional, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nutritionist, I'm a professional chef. So I look at picky eaters differently than they would. But my definition of a picky eater is someone who really doesn't want to engage in eating, and there's a couple different reasons for that. One of them is power and control.
Right.
And I think that runs the gamut with children, right? Because mm-hmm. It's really the only place that they can exert power, if you think about it. It's unreasonable for us as parents to force a child to chew and swallow, right?
Yeah. Yes, it
and
is.
It's almost the same as oppositional behavior with maybe sleep time issues or potty training. These are places where children can control power. So that's my definition of a picky eater. I also look at selective eating in my book, because there are children that may be mistaken as picky eaters, which are behavior issues, whereas a child that has maybe a food intolerance could have, you know, a food allergy or something like that, which is a completely different subject. Mm-hmm. And I think parents need to look at that as well, because that's very serious.
Yes, and you do talk about that in your book. You do have a chapter about that, too.
Yes.
So, yeah, now, why are some kids picky and some kids will just eat everything that you put in front of them?
Well, like I said just a minute ago, all children want to feel that they have some power and control of their
yeah.
lives, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
we do, right? It's important.
Sure,
and it's
sure.
important to be, we want our children to grow up as leaders and strong individuals when they grow. And often children will do the reverse of what's asked of them just to exercise their power, right? So
uh-huh.
one way a child exerts power and control is through food. And this usually works, you know?
Yes, it does.
Right? And it's, you like, think about this, or, you know, and it goes back to the old style of parenting, too. And, you know, sometimes because parenting doesn't come with a manual, we often revert back to how we were parented and goes on through generations that's handed down. And there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes these things are not working anymore. So, you know, the kids today, and kids always, even I think I remember doing this, I was willing to sit at the table for an additional 30 minutes just while my parent waited for me to eat, right?
I don't think you're alone in that one, yeah.
Right? So in today's busy lifestyle, Jill, who has time
no.
for that additional half hour, 30 minutes, or an hour?
Right.
Plus, you know what happens later? When we start doing things like that and we start training our children about, they're starting to parent us, you know, how you can get more attention from your parent by, yeah, I'm going to sit here and all eyes are going to be on me because my parent is going to be paying more attention to me. It doesn't matter if it's good behavior or poor behavior.
That's right. Well, you know what? We're going to take a little bit of a break here for the news, and we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about that. We are talking with Chef Gigi Gajero about her book, Food Fight, a practical hands-on guide filled with simple solutions for parents of picky eaters. Do you need help with your picky eater, or do you actually have some ideas about how to make a kid eat? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Please stay with us. We'll be right back after the news. We are talking about picky eaters today on The Larry Mueller Show. Hi, I'm Jill Nadeau, sitting in for Larry on the Ideas Network. Our guest is Chef Gigi Gajero. Chef Gigi is a culinary expert specializing in children and families. She's the founder of Kids Culinary Adventures, and her new book is called Food Fight, a practical, hands-on guide filled with simple solutions for parents of picky eaters. Are your kids picky eaters? What questions do you have about teaching them how to try things? Or maybe you've involved your kids or grandkids in the kitchen. How do you teach them about eating and life skills like that? Well, we'd like you to be part of our conversation, so give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email. That address is ideas@wpr.org. We would love to hear from you, but let's go right now to Chef Gigi. Hi. You're back with us.
All right.
Oh, good.
Yay.
Good. Now, before we went to the break, we were talking about, you know, why some kids are picky and some kids aren't. And I know that a lot of parents worry that maybe that they created their picky eater. Is that usually the case?
Well, Jill, another good question. I like to say that, you know, parenting is such a mirror image on ourselves that it's, we need to give ourselves a break.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times I'd like to say this is not a result of your parenting. However, the challenge with picky eater could be the way that many parents present or many parents represent food, you know, to children. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, children don't come with a manual. So, like, here's the baby, here's the book, right?
Yeah, darn. That would be nice.
I know, right? So, you know, we don't really know everything. We grow as parents through our children's developmental stages, right?
Right.
And, you know, so for instance, here's an example. Maybe parents don't really know that very young children do better with finger foods and a variety of textures and colors that should be served in small portions on their plates. And, you know, if we think about the size of a child's stomach, really, they're the size of their fist.
Yes.
So a lot of times we think about, you know, ourselves. If we're cold, maybe the child's cold. And that's a great, you know, point of contact for a lot of things. However, I think it's important we need to understand that children are eating on their developmental stage and mm-hmm. age. And a child's body does crave the nutrition it needs, you know. So we should also remember to refrain from presenting foods in maybe a negative way or using bribing tools with foods. You know, that
yeah.
a lot of us can say that's happened to us along the way. And we have to keep in mind that, again, you know, it's normal for kids between the ages of 1 and 3 years old to maybe poke at their food. And also, after a year of rapid growth, you know, toddlers gain so much weight, you know, and they slow
they do.
Down because
mm-hmm.
of it. Right?
Yep.
You know those adorable little chunky stages where the kids gain it and you just want
sure,
like, to like
squeeze
them?
Their cheeks? Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Well, if we really think about that stage, it's because the child has a little bit more fat on them, which means they have fat storage. And so after a year of growth, these toddlers slow down and require less food intake because of it. And here we are, you know. Eat, eat, eat.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So, that can lead to all kinds of problems. Well,
right.
Chef Gigi, we've actually got a couple of calls, and we've got some listeners who want to weigh in on this, too. Let's go to Chris in Adams first. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Jill. You knew if you were doing a food show, I would have to call.
Well, of course. I expected that.
Okay. Hi, Chris. Hi. I'm a foodie. I was a table captain at the English Room in the Pfister Hotel for 5 years, and that was, I got thrown onto the floor the week before Christmas and said, go do this, right? There's 65 things on the menu you have to cook at the table, and I was like, oh, my God. And they have every liquor in the world behind the bar. I knew nothing about anything, and that was an incredible education in a pinch that I had to learn everything there is to know about food. But I've also been on a personal quest to try and do that internationally. And what I moved into rural Wisconsin, and I have tried to make things that are not that out there for people and introduce them to stuff, and they just turn their nose up at it. And picky children make picky adults. And kids are sort of attached to their food that they grew up with. And part of the problem now is that we are 4 and 5 generations removed from the farm. And people don't understand anything about nutrition. We've made a really, really ignorant, sick society because people don't know anything about nutrition. They don't know anything about cooking. They don't know anything about anything relating to food. And part of that is that they're just going through the fast food thing at the local fast food restaurant and drive through and eating in their car. And people, you know, if I were the goddess of the universe, which I don't take any credit for being, I would not allow children under the age of 7 into the grocery store. You know that they're marketing foods for kids. They put all the sugary cereals on the bottom couple shelves.
Yes, they do.
All of the bad ice cream is in the same place in the grocery store, the candy, everything like that, all the bad stuff. I mean, if you go grocery shopping and you're a foodie, you have to reach for things because it's all on the top shelf.
Yeah. Okay. So Chris basically is saying, Gigi, that picky kids, picky adults, it's all kind of going around and around. And what do you say to that?
Well, first of all, Chris, I want to commend you on your tableside cooking because that is definitely a lost art.
Definitely. Definitely.
But you know what? You have a fantastic point, and this is my preach. I could stand on a box on every corner in America and say the same thing. I love that you brought this subject up because you are absolutely correct. And one of the things that I discuss in my book is exactly that. And when I had my kids at culinary school and I did the cooking things for free on Sunday was because I wanted to educate parents. If I was able to change one parent from going through that drive-thru or understanding the advertising and the psychological marketing inside of a grocery store, then I felt I did my job. Now, this is why I wrote this book. And I have I'm working on another book called Cook Outside the Box that really details and gets in more involved in this subject. But back to the picky eater situation, you are right. When you are a picky child, you grow to be a picky adult. I have a niece that her mother never fed vegetables to her. And as a result, she's an adult that doesn't eat anything green.
Now, oh, my.
I have strategies for this. But it is a very, very good point. And I have to say that it's important to exercise a child's palate as they're very, very young. But one of the reasons why children resist those green foods sometimes, Chris, let me tell you, is because our bodies are naturally inherent of rejecting bitter flavors all the way back to those Cro-Magnon days. You know, if you and I were going through the woods and we're picking berries for survival, and because there wasn't a lot of berries because the bears got to them before us, we would probably be eating green leaves and things like that. So our bitter flavors on our tongue are actually a defense mechanism to help us stay safe and healthy. So when you're a child, your taste buds are magnified at least 10 times broader than an adult's, okay? Now, if you can imagine tasting and eliciting a bitter flavor through a green food, that's going to be magnified. That's, you know, I have to say, in a child's defense, I get it.
I do, too.
Totally. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I had the same thing when I was younger.
Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, Jill, well, let me tell you, how do you problem solve that? Okay, so here we always have the challenge. We always have the problem. But what I like to do is I like to look for the solve, right? So as a professional culinary person, this is why I go after picky eating through
culinary techniques that chefs used. And as a chef, we all know that when we bring the cheese out to serve the charcuterie platter, we're going to bring the cheese to room temperature because why?
It tastes better.
Yes. Okay. So, say you have a green food. We want to introduce green food to our children at a young age so we can start exercising and develop their palates, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, with myself, I would give my children frozen peas. Now, because they were frozen, it cut down on the bitter green tasting flavor.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a little science and anthropology of your food, right?
Yeah.
And then the novelty of the kids eating a frozen pea was just something that they just absolutely adored.
Kids love novelty.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
Who doesn't want to eat a frozen pea?
Yeah.
So then, you know, as time carries on, you start to thaw the peas a little bit, and then there's that pop. So then, you know, when my kids got a little bit used to the green flavor frozen, we start to thaw them as stages and ages, right? And it just goes on. Eventually, they're going to eat it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's go back to the phones, and we have George from Oshkosh who has a grandson who's got some issues with eating. Hi, George.
No, it's not issue. It's a big issue. He only eats two things, and everything he puts in his mouth, he just gags and cannot eat it.
George, how old is your son, grandson?
Chicken nuggets and waffle.
Chicken nuggets and waffles. He's seven, Gigi. He's seven.
Oh, you know, that's pretty typical of a seven-year-old. So you know where I classify him, George, is a beige food eater, okay? Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Like, there's all kinds of
difference. I've seen that, yes.
Yeah. There's all kinds of different picky eaters. Okay, so where do we go on the solve on that? Okay, first of all, we have to pull back on the pressure that might be created on the child. And the more you spend time focusing on, you know, reprimanding him or trying to push new foods on him, the more he's going to resist because we go back to that power and control situation again, right? So in my book, I talk about the reason why children are picky eaters, and then once we find the dynamic of individually why each child is a picky eater, then we can choose the solve, okay? Now, a lot of it has to do, there's many, many ways we can introduce new foods to your grandson, George, and one of them is by giving him a close-ended choice, and I talk about that in my book, too. A lot of it has to do with the way that we present or represent food, and I use this with my kids a lot, too, because my kids were picky eaters, and I did it with bath time, too. I could never get my daughter, my older daughter, in the bathtub, so it's like, do you want to take a bath with bubbles or without bubbles?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want the orange peeled, or would you like it cut in slices? And you know what? You have to stick to your guns, George. You're not a short-order cook, so... There's also a chapter where I talk about, for those very advanced battles that sounds like George has on his hand, is a 10-step process that you can go through with the child to introduce a new food. And it could take a while.
Patience is key. Patience is key, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking with Chef Gigi Gajero about her book, Food Fight, a practical hands-on guide filled with simple solutions for parents of picky eaters. Do you have a picky eater? Do you need some suggestions? Do you need some help? Join in the conversation. We have open lines, 1-800-642-1234. Now, Gigi, one of the things that I thought was quite interesting is in your book is that you talk about umami. Why don't you describe what that is and why it works well with kids?
I'm so glad you brought that up, Jill, because, you know, again, I am a chef, and umami is a big part of what chefs work with on the daily, and not everybody knows that. But before we get into that, why don't I tell you your listeners a little bit about what umami actually is.
Yes,
so
please.
Umami is spelt U-M-A-M-I, but is pronounced O-O-M-O-M-M-Y. And umami was discovered, actually, by a Japanese chemist way back in 1908. And it has always been a very big topic of debate since its existence in the scientific world. And in 1985, which was perfect timing because this is when I was a very young chef. The term was actually recognized as a scientific term to describe the taste of glutamates and nucleotides. And so the culinary world was just absolutely elated by this. So umami actually represents the taste of an amino acid, if you can believe that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, isn't it crazy? Mm-hmm. Now, this is where it comes in with the picky eater situation, and this is why I write about it in Chapter 9. I talk about the advanced battle of eliciting science behind flavor. And, you know, again, this is the food professional coming out of me. So on our palate, we have the four primary tastes, okay, that live on our tongue. We have sweetness, we have an area salty, we have bitter, and we have sour taste. Now, umami is actually what we call our fifth taste, but it doesn't live on our tongue, okay? It resides in certain foods. And there are plenty of foods that are really rich in umami where it naturally occurs, okay? And we find this in our meat groups, our fish, our vegetable groups, and our dairy groups. And a lot of children might enjoy these experiences, but some kids might not, so you have to experiment, just like all things, with typical food pairings to see what works for your child, okay, because everybody is different. But when humans eat, Jill, they use all their senses to form judgments, right?
Right.
And taste is the most significant out of our five human senses, okay? This is what I love about my job. So enhancing the sense of taste by adding an umami-flavored ingredient can actually change the flavor sensation on our tongues.
It's okay? Amazing, yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
So chances are you are already a big fan of umami, and I bet you a lot of your listeners are and don't even know it yet.
Yep, I know I am.
Yes. So umami is really helpful in creating flavor combinations. You know what? It makes our tongue happy and makes our brain happy, okay? And this is actually a scientific thing. So with a little bit of knowledge about foods and the foods that naturally contain the fifth sense, those items that you can get that same, like, hard-to-put-finger-on sensation, like, what was that? For instance, a sweet and salty portion of your tongue. You know, have you ever had a pretzel dipped in chocolate?
Yes.
Of course you have, right?
Potato chips, okay. Too. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a glutamate, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is what I do in my book. So I talk about enjoying a sweet and salty flavor mixed together, and a lot of the recipes in my book, I've elicited some portions of foods that in the recipes that naturally occur with umami so that parents can build a home pantry. And let me give you an example of some of them.
Yes,
so
please.
In my book, I list, of course, the umami-friendly ingredients that parents can ramp up any flavors with, okay? So now we've identified the picky eater. Some of our parenting skills on how we can represent or present food can change. We can give closed-ended choices. And then once we present the food, we better make sure the food tastes good, right?
Yes.
That's the last thing we need. It was we do all this work, and then we give the child a piece of broccoli, and it's like, we don't even want to eat it, right?
Right.
Anyway, so things that we can add, Parmesan cheese, okay? We can sprinkle or grate Parmesan cheese onto scrambled eggs, omelets, soups, sauces, stews, right?
Yep.
Now, this is going to sound really crazy. Your listeners are going to think I'm a nut. But fish sauce, okay?
Fish sauce.
Now, I know, right? People, parents would say to me, I'd say, hey, put some fish sauce on it. They're like, really, Gigi? Okay, I have a picky eater. Are you nuts? But let me tell you, if it's used sparingly, there's less aroma, and the umami boost is spectacular, okay? Now, if you try a splash or two in, again, soups, even salad dressings, pasta dishes, casseroles, the child won't even notice it, but the tongue receptor will, okay?
Yep.
Shiitake mushrooms. When my kids were little, I would, you can buy substrate, these little blocks online to grow mushrooms. So at my school, I would get these substrates through the mail, and then the kids would come and they would see the fungi growing. So I was able to anchor another science project to the medium of cooking, and we used the shiitake mushrooms later. And what I would do is I would dry them out, and we would talk about food dehydration and things like that, and then I would pulverize them to a powder, and you can sprinkle the mushroom powder over your roasts and steamed vegetables, before popping in an oven or anything like that. And a shiitake mushroom is very, very high in umami flavor. Soy sauce. That's a natural, right?
Mm-hmm. Super simple. Oh. Super simple.
Yeah. You can use a dollop of that. Even in your hamburger meat, meatloaves, things like that, marinades. It's really important to insist on naturally brewed soy sauce, too. And we have to be careful about where we purchase our food products again, because we want to use things that are healthy and safe and not full of a lot of shelf stabilizers, too.
Right, right.
Canned tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what is a huge umami meal and one of the reasons why children love it so much? Spaghetti.
Yes.
And red sauce,
yes.
Right?
Oh, they love it. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun, number one.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, and, you know, we could go on and talk a little bit more about seaweed and kelp. This happens to be a trending food for children. At first, I was like, what? My kids were coming home from school, sharing snacks with other children, and they would come and start snacking on nori seaweed, which is, you know, the green seaweed
sure.
that's on the outside roll of maybe a California roll.
Yep,
sushi.
Mm-hmm. Sushi. Yep, that's where it's coming from, I'm sure. Yeah.
Mommy.
Yeah. Now, Gigi, we're actually running down to the end of the show, and there's so much here to talk about. It's too bad we're running out of time. But really quickly, why don't you explain what you actually have in your book? Because there's a lot more than what you talked about. So give us a rundown.
Yes. Well, you know, again, I talk about the beginning of the book. We identify why kids are picky eaters. I talk about the different types of picky eaters. I assure parents, you know, that they haven't really created a picky eater, but mm-hmm. there's also some parenting things that we need to, like, maybe review of how we're presenting our parenting skills. Common mistakes I talk about when combating picky eaters, you know. I talk about the umami. I also talk about eating together and food traps, you know, when we're out of the house, how maybe other people in our lives are you know, trying to be helpful, but they're really appearing to be pushy.
Sure.
And not really helping us. I have my 10 steps for a child that needs an advanced battle into introducing new foods.
And you also have some recipes in there, so you want to do that. And I'm sorry, again, we're running out of time. Gigi, thank you so much for being with us today. We had a great time. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Jill.
You bet. Our guest today was Chef Gigi Gajero, and we're talking about her new book, Food Fight, A Practical Hands-On Guide, filled with simple solutions for parents of picky eaters. Hope you can join us tomorrow on Garden Talk. The Neuenhaus sisters will be back with us to share their annual Gardener's Gift Guide. That's always a fun show. I'm Jill Nadeau, filling in for Larry Mueller.